In Jesus' name, it's good to be here with you all this morning. As I thought of the Kirkwood congregation, I knew this change happened, the purchase of this property, but it's not the little church that I had in mind. You know, you have a nice facility here, and God bless you as you continue to reach out to the community around you and be that bright light. I appreciate the song we sang there. I don't know if you took notice of the words that were underneath the title of that song. The verse was 1 Timothy 4. We know Timothy was speaking to the young people, or the young man at the time in that passage. But be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. That's a commitment we made as we sang that song. And as we reflect on this past year, 2025, almost in the rearview mirror, has that been my testimony? Has that been your testimony this year? As we look forward to another year, are we going to have the same desire? Is that our focus for this coming year? This morning I woke up with a song on my mind. I love music, but I enjoy it to myself. But the song that was on my mind is in the songbook there. I think it's 669 or something like that. Lord, I'm fondly, earnestly longing into thy holy likeness to grow. Is that your desire this morning? Is that my desire? To become more like Jesus. To speak out for him. To be a reflection of him, that my everyday life would magnify his works. Ever looking for an opportunity to serve in his kingdom and not in this world's things. I'm sure each one of us reflects back at the highlights, at the disappointments this past year. We see our mistakes where we want to do better in. But a backward looks all right, but we can't focus on those things that are back there. We need to focus on what's ahead of us. We equipped ourselves with where we know we're weak, strengthened for tomorrow. Every one of us has made hundreds of little choices this past year that impacted our decision or decisions and choices that we made this past year that impact why we're here this morning. Why we are feeling the way we're feeling. We made commitments to remain faithful. I thoroughly enjoy our singing in our services. And the songwriters who put those books, or the people who put the books together, and all the commitments we make in our joyful moments of singing and praising God, but are we thinking of what we're saying? It would be nice if we'd be like a GPS. We know we have a destination in mind, and we're going to get there regardless of obstacles that come in our way. So often, that's how we go through life. We program where we want to go, and if it's too busy one way, we'll take another way, and if there's a road accident, it'll detour us, and we just arrive, hopefully, on time. But that's not how the Christian life is, and I think we all are well aware of that. We can have a fresh start, and this is who I want to be, this is where I want to go. But there's forces out there that want to throw roadblocks and wants to throw detours in our path and brings disappointments, and our expectations aren't what we were hoping they would. They're falling short. But that shouldn't change our focus on our destination. We made a commitment to follow through. I will be true to thee. Would it be nice sometimes to go through life where you could hear an audible voice like a GPS and tells you your next step you're supposed to take? Or how close am I paying attention to the direction that is given to me in His Word? Is it an audible voice? Is it an ever reflection on for the choices I make? I believe it is. God does not give us all things. We all know that it's not always spelled out very clearly. But we can stand on that foundation that will stand sure. We will have to stand alone. We will have to weather storms. It will not always be bright spots. There will be those dreary times. But God is faithful. So have unexpected changes or those misunderstandings, or sometimes we make deliberate wrong turns. How have they affected 2025? Am I living true to my commitment? Is my destination still in focus? Just the other week, we had 4 young men who were baptized. We had a baptism service there at our church. And I agree with Brother Dave how sometimes we as Christians who have been Christians several years, it's good to see these young commitments and enthusiasm and the clearness and the refreshing of that new life, that new commitment. And as you as young men, I think of every baptism as young folks or whoever, the new Christians. They're asked these vows: are you truly sorry for your past sins? And are you willing to renounce Satan, the world, and my own sinful and selfish desires? Was that a strong "I will" this past 2025? Am I standing true and strong on that? The one of my own selfish desires. Have I given myself fully to walking with God in 2025? Or do I want to do better in 2026? Who defines that term of service? Who am I looking to? What program am I trying to find that way? Our lives define where we're looking. How we're looking, what we're looking at, by the way we walk. As we grow older, I think we may are. It's good to continue to grow closer to God the older we get. And I think of this oftentimes as we live in a world, a land of plenty. There's none of us here that would, I don't think, denies that. But am I maintaining the concept of living as a pilgrim and stranger in this world in 2025? Has that been my purpose? Have I made deliberate choices to reflect that lifestyle? Am I giving clear direction to the oncoming generation to live by that lifestyle? Or are they observing something different and they see me following some other trend or some defining it other than the Word of God? We know the Christian life don't just happen. It's not like following that GPS. It may appear at times when you see people. I'm sure we all had those experiences where we were following somebody, or maybe someone's following us. They seen that we were clueless of our surroundings. We were focused on taking a command from right in front of us, not only looking for the next move. Yes, we have reached the destination we were looking for, but somewhat carelessly. The Christian life isn't that way. It's a careful, chartered course. We were ever aware of our surroundings and our conditions, keeping a close eye on the goal. Is that how people view my life? Is that how they view your life? Being careful to not fill our lives with unnecessary things, but carefully walking the Christian life. I'm not much of a historian or a person who enjoyed school, but I was always impressed with the sailors prior any electronics. How they voyaged seas and weeks on the water. And I think that the sailors, as we look briefly this morning at how a sailor would voyage through obstacles, through almost months without seeing land sometimes. How did they do it? But how is it in our life as the world sees us? As they see Christians today, do they see us as a sailor? Like, why are you living the way you're living? Why are you doing what you're doing? How can you move confidently through these times? But I believe it's because the sailors had a purpose. They had a focus. They had a goal. And it wasn't easy, but they had to sail on. First of all, to be a Christian or to be a sailor, you must have that desire, that purpose of heart. This is what I want to be. A sailor can't be afraid of water. A sailor can't be afraid of being isolated out at sea alone. That has to be an accepted thought that we're going to be lonely for a long time. And they have to have confidence in the instruments they have. And it's only a few instruments they had. It wasn't for the faint at heart. People says, I can't do it. I guess they stayed on shore then. As we think of their instruments, there's one that I enjoy. I don't personally own one. I never navigated in life with one. But it's always fascinating to me. And it's a sextant. It's a small instrument that you could use any of the celestial bodies in the horizon. And it's a sixth of a circle. So there's degrees. There's a pendulum that has degrees on it. And an eyepiece where you would... There's an eyepiece with a mirror. So it would reflect light. And you'd bring the sun or whatever celestial body you were looking through the eyepiece. And as you lowered that eyepiece, the celestial body with the horizon, where they met is where your position on degrees on the earth were. And you compared that to the nautical almanac, and that has been for thousands of years recorded. It's all in positioning. And this is something that I just love to think about, how man has put this thing in. You open the book, and it's a dialogue of degrees and... But it all stems back to Genesis 14, where God created the world, and he put these things in the heavens for us. And it's for seasons, for days, for years, for times. And these sailors would use these instruments to find their position, where in the world they were. They were out at sea. There was no land, nothing that they could go by. But they could follow small details. And as they connected dots, once they had their position, they would say mark. They would mark on a paper that position. And as they navigated, a few hours later, they put another dot. And they could map where they were at in the sea as they went on their daily voyage. But it's important that they would be specific, make careful decisions, not just haphazardly, randomly swinging the dial, marking degrees, angles, but a careful, precise dialogue. If you ever want to look it up, or if you have one, the old sailors had instruments that were very primitive. you young boys might find this interesting. I always thought growing up that the Pirates had a black patch over their eye because that was just part of their uniform. But it said it's because they used the sextant, because that magnifying glass burnt their retina. The ones nowadays have little filters that you can flip down and protect their eye. But those patches were worn because they were blinded. They were at glare. They ruined their eyes because of improper use of a tool or not having one that was for their better. But they navigated anyway. They set sail, chartering a course, reaching a harbor. And we live in a new world. Well, we don't call it a new world over here in America anymore, but at one time, it was a great accomplishment to be able to sail from Europe over to America. But they trusted equipment, little things. They trusted in a God who didn't change. They could navigate a course of something that was put in place thousands of years ago. We think of the almanac, something that man has put together because of a God who does not change. It's accurate. The equinox is never a day late. Last Sunday was the shortest day of the year. And that was predicted years ago. I'm getting old and I enjoy seeing the shortest day behind us and look forward to the longer days as they slowly approach. But this is a God who has said these things will continue. And as we think of our Christian life, there's many things in the scripture. He told us how to live, what to do, how to be productive, how to be a bright light. It's not a looking back this past year, but it's a looking forward, anticipating. Brother Dave made mention about it might be in 2026 when the Lord returns. But it could be 2025. The year's not over. Am I going to put the truths of God's word in my life the remainder few days of this year? That's my commitment for myself and this coming year, to remain positively grounded in his word, looking forward to his return, but also remaining faithful till then. Continually calculate my position. We all know life is, as we grow older, there's things we put off and more things we put on, and I believe that's good. But as you look back over this past year, have you had times of growth? I'm 47? And I'm reminded at times from people, smaller people in our house, when they say, "Dad," to get your attention. Something you need to improve in. Something you need to get better in. I wish those would be further apart sometimes. There's reminders of, but we need to have ever growing closer to be more like our Lord. Because we have a record that we have to reckon with someday. 2025 won't be just we'll do better next year. Every account we have to give, every word we have to give account for. Our actions are recorded. There is a captain we have to explain to what we did, the choices we made. So this morning, what is your position and location? First of all, do you know where you're at? We see a lot of people in this world who we really question if they really think or know where they are at. If you see an individual like that, when was the last time you went up and asked him, "Where are you? they might not know. They might not know where to look. They might not know where to go. They may have grown up in a Mennonite family or so-called Christian home, but they just do what they always did. Church is just normal routine. But that's not knowing our position. God wants to know that we are walking with him. And he will give us that confidence as we rely on him. And those young, it don't have to be young folks. Whoever it is needs to know that you care and that you're willing to help them find where they're at. Each one of us is like a sailor. We have a ship. We have a position. And there's sometimes pressure and outside forces that want to change our position, that wants to take us off course. But do you know your instrument? Do you know that you can weather those pressures? It's been said of a good sailor that opposing winds makes a good sailor. Because he learns to set the sails. He learns to keep everything tight. He learns to run his rudder carefully and follow the chartered course. And when we do that, when we're alert, when we have outside pressures, when everything is not going as we desire or care to, so we think, but we have a destination, we have a focus. But it's also said of a poor sailor, when the wind is blowing in our favor, we become lax, we become careless, the tailwind, and we begin to drift. Have you ever seen someone weathering hard storms? And they seem to be, have their eyes set. And you say, how can they do it? Because they know their instrument. They have their confidence in the one, the captain. Have you ever seen a person who become a little lax, a little carefree? It really don't matter. Have you ever been there? Just kind of going with the flow. Does that make a good sailor? Does that make a good Christian? We know the answer. It's just a little drift. It's only a few degrees off. I believe Paul reminded of that in Acts chapter 26 when he was talking to King Agrippa. Just a few verses there in Acts 26. We see someone who knew the right thing. He knew the right direction. Well, both of them did. The one was convinced, the other one wasn't totally convinced. Acts 26, 27 through 29 says, this is Paul talking to King Agrippa. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said to Paul, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except in these bonds. Here we see King Agrippa. I believe his position as king, king. His power and his wealth just kept him a little off course, not much. But Paul doesn't hesitate. He knew his instrument. He knew the purpose of living. He wasn't ashamed for where he was. Yeah, he was in bonds. He said, minus these bonds, he was confident that he was going to continue to serve God. His focus point was right. His destination was sure. The harbor he had in his focus, he was going to reach. There was nothing going to take that away. And he reminded King Agrippa of that. Is that my focus? Is that your focus in 2025? Your sails are set. You made a commitment. No matter what kind of storm comes your way. No what kind of outside pressure. And when we think of outside pressure, that can be anything. It can be anything from our peers, to family, to church, to health. These pressures are real. Don't lose sight of the harbor. Keep that focal point. Be determined that you will continue to sail. The God of the universe, no matter how the currents hit, no matter how strong the storms, no matter how cloudy those days are or how many cloudy days they are, the God of the universe will always watch over you. He will always allow enough of sun. He will always let the celestial bodies shine through enough for those who are alert, those who are taking heed, those who are concerned about the navigation of their course to safely reach the harbor. It's not for the faint. It's not for the ones who are carefree, but it's those who are zealous, those who are continuing on. There's young sailors here this morning that have an open sea before them. They're looking forward to what's ahead. And we need to be here to encourage those. The sea ahead is an opportunity. It is something to look forward to. But sail with purpose. Choose your destination before you leave your harbor. Know your instruments. Be equipped. Know what the Word of God says, how to navigate through the sea of life. There's many persuasions, but trust in your instruments that have foundation. Those that have will give you guidance to set sail through life. To us middle age, I have to call myself middle age, I guess, and it's something that I still trying to reckon with. What does my course look like? What about those little amateur sailors that are watching, observing our every move? I love seeing little children in churches. There's something about them little eyes. You know what? They're sitting here, not understanding everything, but yet they're grasping so much. They're observing you as a mama and dad. They're counting on you to stay on course. Is it a safe course? It's not how nice we can make our ship look, and you can put whatever you want in there, what you call your ship, our houses, the things we surround ourselves with. We live in a land, again, we all know we live in a land of many things, and a lot of these things aren't wrong, but they cannot steal our heart. They cannot take away from why we're here. Do they see our purpose as more than just enjoying life? It's more than just doing what we always do. As we were coming up through this valley, I'm always amazed. I grew up in Ephrata, and it's a great place in the world too, but I always enjoy coming down to Amish country. It's a little stronger down here than where I come from, but as we think of the beauty of how people can express themselves, I looked at these nice places, and I'm like, wow, that's a big place, and we have them out our way too, but is that what life's about? History reminds us at times of sailors when the storms of life came. These are people who left the harbor with a destination in mind. They had cargo. They had valuables. But as the storms came, they had to remove them. They had to throw them overboard. These things weren't worth nothing. Or you could hang on to them fairly tight and lose everything. So the cargo we have on board is valuable, but let's not lose sight. Have an improper view of those things, I should say. Then we have the older ones here. There's a few of you. I don't see too many white heads. I say white heads carefully. I don't mean disrespectfully. But as his older ones, you know what? The harbor is almost in view. You stayed true to your instruments. And I love having old people in our congregation. I think each congregation, I know the old bracket keeps moving out a little further. But the value of having stability, seeing people who have weathered storms, people who have stayed true to their instruments, helping us younger ones to understand that, you know what, life ain't always, how should you say it, not always fair, or there's things that come in our lives that we don't understand, but they stay true to the goal. There are days of instrument, using that instrument is, like I said, the harbor is ahead of us, but you older ones still need to stay alert. There's those times of low tide, and there's times of high tide that want to pull us out, to keep us away. But you have to stay faithful. Be alert and be faithful, because there's more observing your life and navigating, looking at how you used your instruments to reach the harbor. Romans chapter 8. You can turn your Bibles there. We'd like to read a few verses here in closing. As we think of her on the sea of life, being alert, know our instruments, be faithful. Romans 8, verse 31 to 39. And what shall we then say these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spareth not his own son, but delivereth him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yea, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Is that the confidence you have as you face 2026? Is that your goal? I want that to be your goal and your purpose for this coming year, that nothing in verse 35, those things aren't, they don't shake Christ. Those things can shake our interpersonal feelings at times. But he told us, God is in heaven, Jesus is in heaven at the right hand of God, make an intercession for us. Do we know our instrument, that we have a connection to the Father, the God of the universe, who has given us all things, that these things, though they seem so big in verse 35, won't take, that pressure won't make our eyes pull off the goal, so we can safely reach the harbor and be a successful sailor. So God bless you all with wisdom as you set sail, as you keep sailing this coming year and reach the harbor. Let's kneel for prayer.